Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
And certainly one of the most cherished freedoms that we have is religious freedom. Many nations do not afford their citizens this wonderful blessing of religious freedom. People who live under systems that were dominated in time past by Romanism, by communism, who are even ruled today under the powers of Mohammedism and various other isms, they do not know the privilege and the blessing for which we often give God thanks to be able to assemble as we have today to exercise religious freedom. There are many nations also that have what they call state churches, that is, the official church of that particular state, and a church that is supported by taxation taken from all the citizens of that country, whether one happens to be a member or a participant of that particular state church or not. He is forced through taxation to help keep it alive. But we have what we call religious freedom. And dear people, we need to be aware and not close our eyes upon the reality that there are many things that would undermine and corrode and take away our religious freedoms. Though there is a spirit of toleration that is blowing through some religious ranks today, we must never lose sight of the fact that officially the Roman Catholic Church does not want nor would allow, if it could keep from it, religious freedom. And this has not changed, though in our country, where religious freedom does exist, there is this spirit of toleration. But as the influence of Romanism should ever grow in this nation and grows in this nation, therefore this cherished liberty is under attack. Also, Protestants come in for their share of contributing to the erosion of our religious freedom, because it has become popular in many religious circles today to seek the dole from the government funds for support of various and sundry church programs. And therefore, they apply for and receive loans and grants from the government to help perpetuate their various religious activities. And of course, alongside those loans and grants come certain governmental religious restrictions. And even today, on the campuses of what we call our Christian colleges, there are buildings that have been built, that have been erected, financed by federal funds, where it is unlawful in those buildings to teach the Bible. This is another horrendous erosion and evasion of our religious freedom. And then religious freedom is certainly being attacked today because of the suppression of the belief in God, and through our educational systems and through various lawsuits and other decisions passed down by our courts, there is not only the suppression of religion, but the promotion of atheism and the promotion of the doctrines of secularism. A lot of people have the wrong idea as to what religious freedom really is. Freedom of religion was never intended by our forefathers who wrote these freedoms into our supreme law of the land to mean freedom from religion. It was never meant for the government to in any way suppress or hinder or to in any way retard the advance or the growth or the practice of religion. We have seen in our time the banning of prayer, the attempts to ban Bible reading, infringement upon people's rights in various public assemblies to practice anything or display anything that is of a religious nature. And this, of course, is a very serious thing because it reflects the attitude on the part of many people that freedom of religion means, this means freedom from religion. And one of the more sinister things that are taking place, as I have already referred to once, is the teaching of anti-Christian doctrines, anti-God doctrines, such as evolution and the so-called sex education classes that are being taught without any moral guidelines pertaining to it whatsoever. That this is nothing more than just an animalistic behavior, and one can orient himself in whatever fashion he sees fit, just to tell the facts. And of course, this undercuts the morality that Jesus Christ would have us to understand. Some also have the idea that freedom of religion means that you are free to believe and to practice anything you want to in religion, call it religion, that it really makes no difference, and all will be well with you, regardless of whatever path you take. The idea is, as Protestants have long proclaimed, that just so long as you are honest and sincere, you are free to believe and to do whatever you want with equal benefit. Now, dear people, as we look at the religious world today, it's obvious to all of us, it could be at least, everybody can't be right. Because when one goes this direction and one goes the opposite direction, it is just simply void of intelligence to contend that both of them are right, especially when they even contradict one another. And this attitude that many have toward freedom of religion, that you can do whatever you want and it doesn't really make any difference, has caused people to cease to search for truth. Because many are even proclaiming now there is no such thing as truth, but only as you think it, only as you might feel it. And that's what you can call truth, and then you on this side can call truth whatever you want. And we can see the reason in this. If it doesn't make any difference what you do, and it doesn't make any difference if you do nothing, why should anyone expend themselves in trying to determine what's right and wrong? If there is no right and wrong, why try to discover what it is? But now we're raising the question today, do we have a right to be wrong? Religious freedom does imply the idea that you may do as you see fit. And giving one the right to choose what he might do, he can choose what is right or he can choose what is wrong. But do we have the right to be wrong? Well, legally we do. The supreme law of our land allows that. Our Constitution guarantees the freedom of religion. It prohibits the establishing of any kind of state church. If one chooses to be religious in this country, he can be, and he can practice and follow any kind of religion that he wants to. Legally, we have this right not to be religious. He has the right in this country not to be religious. Now, this kind of legal freedom has unfortunately been exploited by some people, and they have done some most unholy things in the name of religion. And that which comes to my mind mostly are the charlatans of the television evangelists and so forth that extract funds from people, and they do everything that they do tax-free and without any sort of control or restriction because they claim it is religion, and therefore they abuse this principle of freedom of religion. And frankly, I don't know the solution to that. I suppose in order to grant us all the right of freedom of religion, we'll have to just tolerate certain abuses that people exploit at times. But we do legally have the right to be wrong. God also allows us the right to be wrong, because God does not force His will upon any. Throughout the Bible, we read such words as this, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve." God not only allows you the power of choice, He necessitates you to exercise choice. And therefore, He gives you the right to choose. Now, He's not saying that whatever you choose is right, but He's giving you the right to choose. And when Elijah was before the Israelites at Mount Carmel, he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If Baal be God, then follow him. But if God be God, then follow him." What did he do? He gave them the right of choice. And in giving them the right and the power of choice as free moral beings, he gave them the right to be wrong if that's what they chose to do. But now we would hasten to add that that does not mean that God approves every choice that man makes. It's simply to assert that God allows people the right of choice, and He does not force any of us even to follow His will. But Christ, before He went off to heaven, instructed, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have told you." Now, people must be taught. And on the basis of that teaching, they have to make a decision. They have to have the evidence presented to them. Again, Christ taught in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." Now notice how people are drawn to God. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." People have to be taught. They have to have the evidence presented to them. And then God, having presented this evidence through His Word, through the teaching, allows man to do what he wants to with that evidence. He can either believe the conclusions that are drawn from it, or he can just shrug it off and disbelieve. The Apostle Paul did say in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men. And so people are persuaded to make the right choice. But if a person enters into the service of God, he must do so from the heart. He must do so voluntarily. He must do so submissively. He must come to God willingly. God allows him to choose. Whosoever will may come. And that simply applies, whosoever will not, well, God's not going to force you to come. So in a sense, God allows you to make whatever choice you want. He gives you that power. You know, the very nature of New Testament Christianity demands and requires that there be religious freedom for the very reasons that I've just pointed out. Inasmuch as God does not force a person to obey, Christ captures the heart and the mind and the life of a person because He makes the right kind of decisions with respect to Him. And the demand to choose means that there's one of two directions you can go, and God says, all right, here you are. Now I'm giving you the right to choose whichever one you want. You can choose what is right, or you have the right to choose what is wrong. So legally, we have the right to be wrong. God will even give you the right to be wrong. The Christian faith will even allow you the right to be wrong. But even though we do have the right of choice, and we have the right to be wrong, we must bear the consequences of our choice. We do not have the right to make whatever choice we see fit and expect to receive the blessings of God. Now, we need to understand this because a lot of people have simply gone off on the tangent into the idea that whatever I choose, whatever I believe, it's going to be all right with me, just it'll be all right with you, even though we might contradict one another. But that's not so. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And one of the dominant themes throughout the New Testament, as you're well aware, is man's accountability before God, man's answerability unto God. Every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. So whereas religious freedom frees us from man and our fellow man to force us to do anything religiously, it does not free us from religion. And it does not free us from being right before God if we expect to receive His blessings, because His spiritual blessings are conditional. Whatever differs from what's revealed in the Bible, dear people, is wrong before God. And this is because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. It's inspired, it's inerrant, it's infallible, it's all-sufficient. It is authoritative. We need nothing else. It will allow no additions or subtractions thereto. And if we go onward beyond the doctrine of Christ, John tells us, 2 John 9 through 11, we have not God. So it ought to be evident that though God allows us to choose whichever direction we want, we will bear the consequences of it, because as Christ taught in John 12 and verse 48, the words that I have spoken, That's by which we're going to be judged. The words that I have spoken shall judge you in the last day. And dear friend, if we don't give heed to the word of God, we're going to receive the consequences of our disbelief and disobedience. Christ is the author of salvation, not to just anybody. He offers it to anybody, but He won't save just anybody. He's the author of salvation to them that obey Him. And so if a person wants the spiritual abundant life here, if he wants the spiritual abundant life in the after a while, he is not free to just do anything he wants to and believe anything he wants to. He is free to do what God says. Otherwise, he will suffer the consequences of the wrong choice. Now, let me make just two or three or four applications briefly of this principle this morning. Man does not have the right to be wrong about the existence of God and his faith in God. Now, if a man wants to be an atheist, he can be. If he wants to deny God is, he can do that. And none of us here have the right to deny him of that choice. Now, this does not mean that we won't take issue with him. This does not mean that we won't try to persuade him. This does not mean that we won't try to restrain and prohibit him from infringing upon our rights, which is so often being done today by the atheistic world to take away certain rights of religious people. But this does mean that even though we shall try to persuade him and to teach him and to show him the path of right, he can be an atheist if he wants. But keep in mind, in more than one place the Bible says, "The fool saith in his heart, there is no God." Therefore, if a man wants to live the life of a fool and die the death of the lost and suffer the hell of the condemned, he has that right. But he will suffer the consequences of his choice. He has the right to be wrong in some sense, but he does not have the right to be wrong and still expect all to be well with his soul. Man does not, secondly, have a right to be wrong about Jesus Christ. Now, there be many in our world that believe in God. The Jewish world, the Mohammedan world, many religious faiths believe in God, but they deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And friend, one does not have the right to deny that and to disbelieve that and be blessed of God. Now, God's not going to force anybody to believe in Christ. But the time is coming when every eye shall see him and every tongue shall confess. Romans chapter 2:14 and verse 11. We read this phrase, "So then every one of us, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." You know, eventually there's coming a time when every person that has repudiated Christ, ignored Christ, or known not of Christ is going to acknowledge Christ. There's no escape from it. The tragic thing is, however, if they do not do so in this life, it will be of no spiritual benefit to them. Jesus once said, or John at least once wrote about the works of Jesus in John 20:30-31, that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. Now, God has provided for us the evidence sufficient to prove to us the identity of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." John 8, verse 24. And Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4, 12. Therefore, we see that even though one may choose to deny Christ, and in some sense he has the right and the power of making that choice, he does not have the right to make the wrong choice and receive the right blessing. And let me tell you something, people. Now listen to me, and I'm not trying to be harsh, but I would, if I could, stir your heart. There are those in this county, there are those in this community, there are those who even attend services at this church, and we're grateful for your presence. With your continued refusal to submit to Christ, you have that right. You can stay as you are all the remaining days of your life. We cannot force you. God will not force you. We won't even try. We will try to teach you, but you can continue to do that. But if you die like that, you're going to reap the consequences of your wrong choice. Now, you need to understand that. Because you cannot just dismiss this with a wave of the hand as if it is of no significance to you. And you cannot be wrong, dear people, about the plan of salvation and your obedience to the gospel and still be saved. The gospel must be believed and it must be obeyed. You can continue to refuse to believe it if you want. But Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonian brethren in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he spoke to brethren of people who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then told them what were to be the consequences. And some of you better listen to it, because he's writing of you because you haven't obeyed the gospel. who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I don't know how people could read language any plainer than that. Do you? You can't be wrong about that. You're either going to obey the gospel or you shall forever be banished from the presence of God. And my beloved brethren, none of us who are Christians have the right to be wrong about living a faithful, loyal Christian life. Now, we have the power of choice to do what we want to about it. We can ignore the work. We can ignore the worship. We can worship any way that we want to. We can be faithful. We can be unfaithful. We can grow. We can refuse to grow. We can ignore the difference between right and wrong. We can follow error. We can neglect doing the things that we want to. But it's the truth that makes one free, John 8:32. When we become entangled again in the things of the world, well, we need to realize we'll suffer the consequences of that. Galatians 5 and verse 13 tells us that we're called to liberty. Well, we need to understand that from which we are freed. We're not free from responsibility to God. We're not free to just do our own thing. We're not free to worship just any way we want to. We are freed from sin. We're freed from the old law. We are free to serve God God's way. I one time heard over a radio program what I consider to be one of the best definitions of religious freedom that I've ever heard. Religious freedom is the right to go to heaven God's way. And it is the right to go to hell any way you see fit. Now you stop and think about that. I think that pretty well covers the subject right there. We are free to do what God says. And we're free to receive the blessings when we do what God says. But we're free to go any other direction that we may want to. But we'll suffer the consequences of an eternal torment in doing so. Now, friend, we need to understand what religious freedom is. And when we hear people talk about religious freedom, let's not get the idea like there's a popular song some years ago that said, "It's my life. Live it the way I want to. I'll throw it away if I want to." Well, you can do that. And it's tragic how many people are doing that. You've heard the old adage, and people have said it so many times, and just about every time anybody makes a mistake, and you too and me too, we'll say, "Well, everybody has a right to be wrong once." Well, I think most of us have already used up our once, probably a lot of times in the past. But everybody's got a right to be wrong once. Well, there are some things that you don't have a right to be wrong about. You realize that? You know, some people think that attendance in worship services, if you don't come, if you're unfaithful, that's wrong. You don't have the right to be wrong about that and still be pleasing to God. Where'd you get the idea that you could? Many do, but they're tragically mistaken. You do not have the right to be immune from the consequences of a wrong choice. And aren't we thankful, aren't we grateful that we live in a land where we are protected by government to choose what is right? And aren't we grateful that God has provided us information as to what is right, and that if we will do right, God will bless us and count us as belonging to Him. We plead with you to exercise this most marvelous blessing of blessings, religious freedom. Don't think you're free from it. Don't think that means whatever I decide is all right. You're free this morning, having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, to obey it and be saved. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you are free to repent of your sins and come and confess that faith and be baptized into Christ, to be made free from sin, born into the liberty of Jesus Christ. But as you enjoy that kind of freedom and liberty from sin, you assume the responsibilities, the limitations, the restrictions, and the obligations of service to God. And we would plead with you to be a servant, recognizing that we're never totally free.